This conference will now be recorded.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another session of Shared Experiences. Tonight's topic will be eating healthy, getting started. And we have actually with us two panelists. We expect another one to join shortly, but we have, you know, two of our health and wellness gurus, experts, who will share their insight on the ways to just kind of get started eating a healthy routine. And they're going to break it down to you in just real simple ways, because we know that if you look at all the infomercials and all the literature out there, they kind of make getting healthy really complicated. So with that, I'm going to introduce two of the three of our, you know, favorites. And we have, you know, Kirk Charles, who is a author. He's a columnist for Men's Health Over 40. And he's a certified personal trainer. And we also have Audi Stiletto. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Well, it's Audi Odom Stiletto.
Wow, okay. Yeah, I really screwed that one up. Sorry about that.
Okay. It's okay.
No, all right, but she's a certified herbalist. Mm-hmm. And the owner, exactly, your garden is, or is it considered an herb garden? Is that the proper?
Right, it's an organic medicinal garden, organic vegetables and medicinal garden, yes.
Okay, all right. So the way we're going to do tonight is, you know, if you guys do me a favor, when you start speaking again, just introduce yourself, because again, you're going to be on audio without the video. So just so people will know, the listeners, who's speaking. And the same thing, you know, Shelly, if you interject with a question, and I'll say whoever else joins, you know, just so people know who's talking. So without further ado, it is a pleasure to have everyone back. And let's get this, you know, session underway. We're going to start off with the first question is, you know, to the panelists is, you know, how many years have you been following a healthy eating routine? Who wants to go first?
Howdy, go right in.
Oh, okay, thank you. I would say that it's been a couple of decades that it's evolved, and sort of evolved with my needs and the needs of my family and everything. So I would maybe say the last 30 years, I've been consciously thinking of eating much more healthy.
Okay. And Kirk, how long has it been for you?
For me, since 1989. That's when I got on like a vegan path. And, you know, to be honest, I'll tell you, I don't really think of myself as a healthy eater. I think of eating to get a particular result. And the reason I say that is when I'm speaking on stage or speaking to clients, I don't want to say I eat healthy, meaning that you don't eat healthy, and then I offend that person. So people don't want to hear that they don't eat healthy. I mean, I'm just saying, look, what you do has produced what we have right here. Which is telling me they're eating unhealthy. So what produces the result? I'm looking at a result-driven diet, and I think that plant-based eating produces the best result that you could ever ask for.
Okay.
So 31 years to answer your question.
Okay. Directly. 31 years of result. Yeah. Result-driven eating.
Hmm? Result-driven eating. That's right.
Depends
on what you want out of life. I mean, we all want certain things. Some people want a different body type. They want to be bigger and stronger. Some people want to be thin and fast. And you'll eat differently to produce that. And obviously, you will exercise differently to produce that also. So it's arrogant for me to say, I eat healthy and you don't. you know, it's just not good. It's not good for business.
Okay.
let's be for real.
Okay.
So that's just my personal way of phrasing it. Eating for results.
For a certain set of results, which, like I said, again, I like that approach because it's really aligned with, we'll call it corporate speak, you know, result driven, you know, mm-hmm. and you fill in the blank. So that's perfect. Did you succeed the first time you attempted to establish this, or did you kind of fail, start over?
I failed several times, many times, because I would get a hold of an idea to hear something on the radio or television. It's like, oh yeah, I'm going to try that. And then I try it and I get sick. It's like, oh, but if I read up on it instead of just taking that little sound bite, you know, I would be able to integrate it better. So it was like, it was a learning experience. You know, you try something that's not working. You do some more research, you know, try it again with, you know, other things added or taken away from the diet, and then you get a little better results. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now I know
so
she's.
It's back and forth learning experience for me.
Okay. And again, I can appreciate your honesty when you say I failed several times, you know, because with people, a lot of times they, when they see someone who's doing something, they're doing it well, a lot of times people just make the assumption that you just arrived there. You know, it's like when you see stars, you know, see celebrities, they don't see the hard work that people have put in to establish that routine or the failures. You know, they kind of think like, oh, you're just perfect.
Yeah.
Kirk, how about you?
My path was a little different. I got started around 85 when I was in my early 20s.
And
I just, for ethical reasons, and I just thought it would be healthier for me, I just wanted to stop eating red meat for 1 year. And then after I succeeded with that, then the next year I stopped eating chicken for a year, then fish for a year, and then dairy was the last thing. So I didn't go back and forth with it. I just took my time, and there was no intention to eat healthy or eat for results or even be a vegan. I don't know if people even knew what that word meant at that time. We're going back to the mid-80s. So it was different for me. It wasn't like I just consciously decided, hey, I'm going to eat healthy. Here's the date. Let me try it and just jump into it. It was a gradual transition. And, you know, now knowing what I know, I have to try to accelerate that transition for my clients. But for me, it was really easy, and I've never gone back.
Okay. Now, speaking of going back, looking back, is there anything you would have done differently?
Buddy?
Oh, your sound went away.
Yeah, I don't hear you, Audie. You want me to go, Darren? I'll go.
Me, so, yes.
Going
back, I think I probably would have read more. I would have listened to my body more. Oh, dear. Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
No? Not at all.
Yes. Nope.
We can hear you.
Yes, we can hear you. Now we can.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
No.
Go.
Can you hear me now? Yes. Oh, okay. Okay. I'm so sorry. I forgot the question. Kurt, could you go ahead? I'm so concerned with my microphone here.
Is there anything I would have done differently? That's the question, right?
Go ahead, Kirk.
I can't say that I would have, because it depends on your level of knowledge at that time. You know, like Maya Angelou always said, when you know better, you do better. So I was just learning as I went along. I would probably read more books about the subject if there's any one thing. But even back at that time, I was reading. Like Back to Eden was a book that I read back then. African Holistic Health was another book that I read back then. But I can't say I would have done anything differently, because 31 years ago, I was a much different person. I didn't know a whole lot about plant-based eating. All I knew was, I'm just going to stop eating meat and we'll see what happens. So I wouldn't say I'd do anything different. Now, for my clients, I told them how to do things different. Okay. Only because I've been doing this for 30 years. So I think I have some pretty sound advice on the subject. But I do it the same way. Yeah. Same way. I'll change it. When I came out of the womb, I would have never asked my mother for a bacon. I would do that. Because I know I was eating bacon a lot back then.
Okay.
So that's one thing I might do differently. But other than that, I do it the same way.
Okay. If I remember correctly, Kirk, when I joined your session the other Saturday, didn't you tell me that you have an aunt that used to eat bacon and eggs faithfully?
Yeah, and you know, it still bothers me to this day. I need to keep in better touch with family members, obviously, but she had diverticulitis and going back and forth to the doctor, had been hospitalized a couple of times, and I didn't even know about it. And she would eat bacon and eggs every day, like every morning. And I basically had to beg her not to eat bacon and eggs every morning, right? Because she was constipated. And you know, when you have diverticulitis, you have difficulty with bowel movements, maybe one or two per week, something like that. And I finally got her not to stop eating bacon and eggs, but to eat it like after she had fruit and salad in the morning. And that seemed to help her loosen up her bowels. All of a sudden now she thought she had diarrhea. You know what I mean? Okay. So you go from a horrible situation to diarrhea. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, I mean, you might be a normal person now where you have like bowel movements every day, more than one. But yeah, that type of eating style has crippled a lot of people. And bacon, processed meats are class 1 carcinogens. All right. That's enough reason right there not to do it. I mean, it's in the same class as asbestos and smoking cigarettes. So that's reason enough not to do it. Forget about the fact that you're constipated. So, you know, now she's older. She's about 75 years old. You know, once you put a lot of wear and tear on your body for all of those years, and we're not talking about an acute problem. I mean, if I were to sit down and eat bacon and eggs today, I might get sick, but I wouldn't have the issues that she's having. Two different things. So we're looking at long term. And I'm always looking at long-term, not short-term, because in the short-term, you can produce pretty much any type of result you want. You know, you can lose 10 pounds in a week, things like that. But how can you sustain it? That's the question. So what can you sustain now in the entirety of your life? That's the way I pretty much look at everything.
All right. Which is another, you know, for the audience, is another key word that you will hear over and over now is sustainability.
You got it.
In so many ways, it's, you know, again, that corporate speak, it's about, how can we sustain this?
Yeah. So we're looking at, evolving on a physical and spiritual level in order to do this. So you need to be educated, listen to a lot of people, get different points of view, but more so than listening to people is being willing to experiment on yourself. By trying new things, you know.
Now, I want to hold you right there because I want to connect what you just said to something that Aldi said earlier, which was listening to your body. You know, which is one of the things that I always believed in, that you can read everything, but you got to understand that everything doesn't work for everybody. So that what she was saying earlier again about listening to your body, I think is key, and that listening is also knowing what's my discomfort, assuming that may be the case. Is it discomfort just from the natural transition, or is it discomfort because something's actually wrong, you know, and learning how to distinguish between the two. So going back to you, Aldi, when you said listen to your body, you remember, can you qualify that for someone when, you know, we say listen to your body? What does that mean, you know, to you? Oh, we can't hear you again. Which is really
jumping here.
Yes. She was coming in so clearly before.
Okay. Listening to your body, for me, well, here's the problem with listening to your body. It's then you mix it.